The following is a sermon from Haven Heights Baptist Church in Wauseon. At Haven Heights, we believe that faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. As you listen to the sermon, we pray the Lord would use the preaching of His Word to point you to Jesus and to strengthen your faith in Him. If you're looking for a church home, we'd love for you to join us on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. For more information about our church, go to havenheightsbaptist.org or find us on Facebook. When I was younger, my grandfather used to call the house every time Billy Graham was on TV. He'd call and he'd say, "Billy Graham's on TV," and then he'd hang up the phone so he could go and watch. Maybe you remember seeing the Billy Graham Crusades. Stadiums filled with people, singing and then preaching. And then at the end of every sermon, there would be an altar call, and he would invite people to come down front and receive Christ. And there on camera, thousands would leave their seats, go down to the arena floor, and pray. Billy Graham undoubtedly was the greatest evangelist of our time, and yet not the greatest evangelist in history. That honor, the honor of the greatest evangelist of all time, falls to Jonah. As we saw in chapter 3, Jonah preached to over 120,000 people, and they all repented. When Billy Graham preached, thousands repented, but not all. Some stayed in their seats. But when Jonah preached, everyone repented. Jonah had success unlike any other. And if you've seen the Crusades, if you've seen the people come down front and the camera would pan over to Billy Graham, he would be smiling from ear to ear. Because there's nothing better than seeing someone come to faith in Christ. And with that image in mind of Billy Graham smiling from ear to ear, let us see how Jonah responds when not merely some, but when all the people come to believe in God. If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn to Jonah chapter 4. We'll be in Jonah chapter 4, and we will read the chapter in its entirety. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." But the Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what happened to the city. Then the Lord provided a leafy plant and made it grow over Jonah to give shade for his head and to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It'd be better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" "It is," he said, "and I'm so angry I wish that I were dead." But the Lord said, "You've been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend to it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" Don't miss what we just read. Jonah chapter 4 is the strangest ending to any book of the Bible. Strangest ending to any book of the Bible, and maybe the strangest ending to any other book in history. Jonah is angry over the success that God gave him. 120,000 people came to believe because of his preaching, and he's angry. The ending is everything but that what we would expect. He has a hard heart towards those who came to believe. For those taking notes, we begin with the big idea, and the big idea is simply this: hard-heartedness towards other Christians. Two questions then to guide our time. Number one, where does it come from? Where does a hard heart towards other believers come from? Where does it come from? Then number two, how do I get rid of it? How do I get rid of a hard heart towards other Christians? First question, where did it come from? Where did Jonah's hard-heartedness come from? Well, verse 1, to Jonah this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. Jonah says, it is not right that the Ninevites come to believe in God. He says, they don't deserve your grace. What they deserve is your condemnation. Now, Nineveh is the modern-day city of Mosul, Iraq. And it wasn't all that long ago that the United States fought a war in Iraq. And if you remember, we fought that war because their government funded terrorism against the United States. The Iraqi government hates the United States, and so our country went to war. It was exactly the same for Nineveh some 4,000 years ago. The Ninevites, the same country, hated the Israelites. The Ninevites hated Jonah's country, and they often had military conflicts. The only difference between then and now is that now we stand on the side that is strong. The United States is way stronger than Iraq. But not then. Then Jonah stood on the side that was weak. Israel was way weaker than Nineveh. Jonah says, this is not right. You saved them? They hate us. And they fight against us. And they hurt us. And they hate you. And they hate me. And they hate everything that you stand for. They hate everything we're trying to do. And verse 2, you act as if that means nothing. I knew it. I knew you'd give them grace when they deserve hell. And if you're not going to send them to hell, then I don't want to live. I'm so angry. I want to be dead. So God asked Jonah, is this right? Is it right for you to be angry at my grace? Jonah hears the question, but if you notice in the text, Jonah doesn't respond. Jonah's far too angry to talk to God. And sometimes when people are that angry, it's best just to not say anything at all, because if we respond to people when they're that angry, they're not going to hear what we have to say. And so that's what God does with Jonah. God just leaves Jonah in his silence, and then he does something a little bit unorthodox, something a little bit outside the box, and God gives Jonah this plant. Verse 6, the Lord provides a leafy plant and made it grow over Jonah's head to provide shade and to ease his discomfort. Now, that plant may not seem like that big of a deal, but it is an incredible grace. In the summer, the temperature in Iraq reaches over 120 degrees. The plant provided shade, which was just an unbelievable, an incredible comfort in a hot heat like that. But the plant's even more than comfort. The plant's an object lesson. Jonah, why are you angry? Don't you like my grace? Jonah refuses to respond, so God, verse 7, sends a worm to eat the plant. And then God sends the blazing sun and the scorching wind. Jonah says, I'm literally baking in an oven. And no surprise, Jonah's angry. And without any doubt, Jonah's thinking, this is just about right, isn't it? I serve you and I'm baking in the sun. And these scum, you save them? That's how you play this? You're good to those who hate you and terrible to those who love you. So what's all this about? What's the plant all about? Here it is. God showing Jonah, you think that God's grace is only for you. Jonah loves when God shows him grace. God provides the plant. Verse 6, Jonah's happy. When God is merciful with others, Jonah says, how dare you do that? When God disciplines Jonah, when God takes away the plant, Jonah gets angry. How dare you do that? I deserve your goodness. But when God disciplines others, Jonah says, yeah, that's right. They deserve that. They're getting what they deserve. Jonah thinks God's grace is only for him and people like him. Now, this is not unique to Jonah. Jesus addressed this very question. This was the scripture reading that Russ read earlier this morning. Jesus tells the parable of the workers in the vineyard, and do you remember what Russ read? Some of the workers arrive early, other workers come later, and still others come right at stopping time. And then stopping time comes, and each worker is paid. And each worker, regardless of their time, is paid the exact same. And wouldn't you know it, those who started early say, this isn't right. We worked the longest, we worked the hardest. And because we worked the longest and because we worked the hardest, it isn't right to treat them the same as you treat us. It's a parable. Jesus is saying this is what the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is grace. And it's grace that makes Jonah angry. Jonah says, we don't deserve to all be treated the same. Because I worked the longest and I worked the hardest. I have served you and I've obeyed you. And these scum who have just come to believe, oh no, that's not right. They need to grovel. They need to beg. They need to do penance. They need to earn your forgiveness. You can't just forgive them. You can't just say that doesn't matter. Not okay. So what about you this morning? Does God's grace in other people make you angry? What about the Sunday school teacher or the church leader? Maybe you've been a Christian far longer. Coming to this church far longer. But people go to them with their questions. Or people go to them for prayer. Do you get resentful? That's not right. I've been a follower of Christ for way longer. They should come to me. What about the murderer on death row? In the interview, he tells the world that he's come to faith in Jesus Christ, and he's all smiles, and he speaks of God's grace in his life. Do we think, how dare he? He deserves to pay for his sins. Or what about an ex-spouse who comes to faith in Jesus Christ? And we see on social media and we hear from other people that they're doing quite well. We think, how dare they have that? They were terrible to me. They deserve to suffer. What about the football player? He wins the game and he does his post-game interview and he says, I just want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Is our first thought, how dare he do that? He's probably using God because that's just too easy, and he needs to struggle. He needs to struggle a bit more if he's ever going to be a real Christian. Do any of those hit home? Each of us can have a hard heart towards the grace of God. I see the grace of God in other people, and that's not right. If we see that in our own heart, how do we get rid of it? That's our second question. How do I get rid of it? It's interesting in the passage, verse 3, verse 8, verse 9, Jonah says, I don't want to live. When things come in 3, you can't miss it. 3, 8, and 9, undeniable, without question, Jonah has a hard heart. But he didn't stay that way. Jonah repented. Repent means to change our thinking. Now, how do we know that? How do we know that Jonah didn't just remain as he was? How do we know that Jonah repented? Because it doesn't tell us that, right? It just ends at verse 11. So how do we know that he repented? Well, we know that he repented because we have the book of Jonah. You know, just think about all the godly people you know. And the godliest people you know are those who share their testimonies often. And in their testimonies, they share how they once were, and they speak freely and openly about their past sins because they've left them behind. That's what's happening here. Jonah is telling us how he once was. And we know that because we have the book of Jonah. Scholars agree that if Jonah didn't repent, we probably wouldn't have the book of Jonah at all, or if we had the book of Jonah, Jonah would have sugarcoated a few things, or certainly would have left parts out. The fact that he's just so honest about all of his sin, so honest about his blatant hard heart, tells us that at some point he surely repented. So let's look at his change. First, his sin. We've said this so many times. Jonah just can't stand the grace of God. Verse 11, God asks, should I have great compassion over the city of Nineveh, in which there's more than 120,000 people who can't tell their right from their left? And also these animals? Verse 11, God says, I'm concerned for people. And not only people, but their things and the things they care about, and their livelihoods and economy. Jonah says, that's not right. Shouldn't care about these people. They hate us. They make war on us. They've killed our countrymen. This isn't right. You need to be good to those who love you, of course. And you need justice for those who hate you. But you don't. You even love those who hate you. And here's his sin. I don't want a God like that. I don't want a God that is that loving, gracious, and compassionate. Now that's real stuff. Some of us in this room have been abused. Some of us in this room have been stolen from. Some of us have been publicly slandered. And now we're told that God loves them? That God cares about their soul and even their livelihood and even their possessions and even their checkbook? Are we okay with that? Are we okay with a God who has that level of care and concern for people who have done that to me? That's what Jonah struggles with, and I suspect some of us struggle with that. And just like Jonah, we struggle when God seems to overlook the offenses of those who've sinned against us. So how do we get over that? How does Jonah get over that? We know that he did get over it. How does he do that? That we don't know. But we do know that we can get over it. And we do know how we can get over it. The way we come to accept God's love and grace for those who don't deserve it is to look at the cross. In the cross, God shows his grace. He died for our sins. Praise the Lord, right? We sing of this every week. On the cross, Jesus shouts out, "It is finished." The shout of victory. Every sin of mine is paid in full, put away forever. That's grace. And so if you're here this morning and you struggle with guilt over past sin, look to the cross. Because every sin of ours is fully put away forever. Jesus says there's grace for you. It's finished. Now, what about if we struggle with resentment over God's grace for others? We'll look to the same truth. On the cross, Jesus says it's finished. Their sin is put away forever because it's paid for in Jesus. And so do you see it? Do you see that the cross is not only about grace for you, but also about justice for you? Do you see that? The cross is not only about grace for me, but about justice for me. For in the cross, every sin of the repentant is paid for fully and completely. And so it's like this, nobody gets away with anything. That's Jonah's great concern, right? They're going to get away with all of this, and it's not going to happen because every sin is paid for either on the cross in Jesus Christ, or every sin is paid for in the unrepentant in hell for eternity. But at no point is any sin left unpunished. Justice is always done, already done in Jesus on the cross, or yet to be done in all of eternity. And when we believe that, when we really believe that the judge of the earth will do right and has already started the mechanism in place by which he does right, there is no room left for hard-heartedness. It's impossible. If you really see on the cross, Jesus took away every sin for the repentant, and because he did that, we can surely trust that every other sin in the unrepentant will be dealt with. When we really believe that, it's impossible to be a hard-hearted person. So what's it look like to be changed? I'm sure there's so many things we can say here, but I just want to end with three tangible examples, three ways of what it's going to look like to really see the cross and then to be changed by the cross. Three ways. Number one, hard-heartedness begrudges other people. Hard-heartedness begrudges other people. This was Jonah's problem. Jonah didn't want to forgive. He struggled with forgiveness. I was wronged. That's great that they believe in you, but I got to get mine. That's hard-heartedness. I'm not going to forgive them. Good for them that they believe in you, but they deserve justice. Listen to what Jesus says at the end of the Lord's Prayer. This is Matthew 6, 14 and 15. If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. Why does Jesus say that? Jesus says that because there's only one type of person who wants grace for other people. The type of person who wants grace for another person is the person who knows the grace of God for themselves. You see, Jonah doesn't know anything of grace. God sends the plant, and Jonah says, I deserve that plant. Jonah's actively sinning against God, refusing to talk to God, refusing to want anything to do with God. God shows him grace. God sends the plant, and Jonah says, that's right, I deserve that. It's what I'm owed. Jonah knows nothing of grace. And those who don't see God's grace in here are those who will not forgive there. If you struggle to forgive, if you struggle to want grace for other people, it's because the gospel hasn't yet gone deep enough. And when we become more aware of our sin and more aware of God's grace, when we get really focused on what God has done for me, that's when we stop worrying about what others deserve. Number two, hard-heartedness uses other people. Hard-heartedness uses other people. I won't even begin to make judgments about what's happened in Minnesota. I think it's way too early and maybe even impossible for those of us on the outside to begin to understand what's taking place. But here's what I have noticed. It seems like everyone is happy to use Renee Good and Alex Pretty for their benefit. The left says, look at what happened. What a tragedy. We need to overhaul and reform. Get these guys out. And the right says, look at what happened. These two are the examples of everything that's wrong with America. And it seems as though both the right and the left are nearly giddy over what happened because their deaths can be used to prove that their view is right. Both sides use these people to prove that we're the good people. Jonah's doing the same thing. Jonah uses the Ninevites. He says, you know, when they're evil, that shows that I'm good. I'm not like them. They're the bad people, and I'm the good people. I know I'm good because I know that they're evil. And because I'm good, because I'm not them, I deserve grace. And he used them rather than loving them. If you struggle to have compassion for other people, look at the cross. It's been said that no one stands taller at the foot of the cross. And that's because at the foot of the cross, we see with clarity the horror of our sin. And we see what our sin has done to Jesus Christ. And when we really and truly see that, there is no vision field left to think I am better than the person beside me. Number three, hard-heartedness avoids people. It is so easy to avoid people that are really too blessed or really too down. When people are too blessed, we get jealous and we don't want to be around them because we think, you know, God's grace should be for me and not for them. Or when others are too down, depressed and lonely and hurting, we don't want to be around them because they're going to take my effort and they're going to take my emotion. And so we just avoid people. And that's never more true than in evangelism. Just think about your own life. What's the number one reason you don't tell people about Jesus Christ? Number one reason any of us don't tell people about Jesus Christ is because we don't want to take the time. We care more about our time today than their eternity tomorrow. A famous atheist said this, "How much do you have to hate somebody not to proselytize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not to tell them that?" The hatred the atheist is talking about is nothing more than indifference. I'm too concerned with me to lean into them. They're going to take my time and their energy, and I just don't have time for that. You struggle to have compassion on the lost? Look to the cross. For the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. Now, how's the cross joyful? With the nails and the scourging, how is that joyful? It's joyful because real joy comes from extending ourselves to others. We all know that it's better to give than to receive. That's what the cross shows us. Jesus gives it all away because in so doing, he gets the greatest joy possible. And in the same way, the greatest joy you can have is to give your life away for others. So what about you this morning? Are you hard-hearted? Struggling to forgive? Struggling to lean in? Struggling to share your faith? If so, may we be like Jonah. May we repent, and may we come to see that God's grace is for everyone, including ourselves.
You've been listening to a sermon from Haven Heights Baptist Church in Wauseon. If you're looking for a church home, we invite you to join us. We gather on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. For more information about our church, go to havenheightsbaptist.org or find us on Facebook.